Good morning and welcome to our special edition of the Friday Morning Sports Show on Tuesday, the Mets edition. How are you this morning, Jesse?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you this morning, Jay?
I'm doing great. In a matter of 10 minutes, we have a special caller, Matt Sharon, the writer of the Mets blog. I'm very excited for this.
Same, you know, he's really an inspiration to young bloggers like us, and he's very informative and knows really what he's talking about, and it's good to have him on the show. We'd like to thank him for coming up this early.
We do. It's going to be great. So let's just start off talking about a few topics. The Mets lost last night in a close game to the Rockies, 2-1. They couldn't find their bats last night, and they struggled against the Rockies in the first series of the year, and I thought it was a very heartfelt loss for Chris Capuano, who pitched a great game.
He really has been pitching well. His last start also, he's pitched well. He's been giving up a few hits, but he's really keeping his earned run average, lowering his earned run averages. I mean, he's really setting up the Mets to win the games, but they're not hitting enough for him. They're not giving him enough run support for him to get the win.
It looks like the Mets have been hitting a lot better at Citi Field. We've seen a lot more home runs there. That's very surprising, because Citi Field is one of the largest, even the Mets have considered bringing in the walls because they're so far out. And the Mets have almost made it paid not to move in the walls because they've been hitting so many home runs. Do you think this is just the home field advantage getting to them, or something else?
I just think it was more of a matter of time that the Mets started to hit well enough in their own ballpark. I mean, every team has that little home field advantage. They take batting practice there every day. They hit there every day, and they play more games than everyone else there. So they really learn where to drive the ball to, and the hitting coaches teach them how to open up their shoulders or close their shoulders or their stance to direct the ball into the right part of the ballpark, which they've been doing well this year.
That's very true. And another big topic that we're going to talk about with Matt is the trade situation with Jose Reyes. Any comments about that before he calls in?
You know, I really think the Mets can't afford to trade him. They really can't. I mean, look at him. He's on fire right now. He's really hot, and he's the lifeline of this team. He energizes everyone from that leadoff spot. And if he's gone, you'll see a big part of the team missing.
Alright, and we're going to tune in to a quick PSA before Matt calls in about wildfires.
Total Alarm Company, this is Todd.
Yeah, hi. Can you guys handle pretty big jobs?
How big are we talking?
Well, super duper big, Todd.
Yeah, this is my dad's business. I just work here summers.
Well, he is going to be so proud of you. You are about to lock in a deal to install a smoke alarm system in every single forest in America.
Cool. Like the buildings there? The ranger places?
No, the forest.
I don't understand.
Well, we are a group of concerned citizens, and we want to install alarm systems in the forest to alert the animals. You guys probably see the effects of people's lack of respect for fire all the time, right?
Yeah. Dad?
Yeah?
It's just Claude. What can I do for you?
Can you install a smoke alarm system in every forest in America?
It's a joke.
No, we just want to combat people's bad behavior and warn the animals when there's a fire.
Only you can prevent wildfires. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, the Ad Council, and this station.
Total Alarm Company, this is Todd.
Yeah.
That was a PSA on wildfires. You know, they really hit home in California for people listening there. Now here's Bruce Springsteen with Glory Days.
Him on speakerphone, and then he's talking. Boom. Yeah, that's it.
All right, and now we're back. Just some music, and we're just fixing the phone situation before Matt calls in. We got a matter of like 3 minutes. I'd just like to talk about something with you before we start. I was at the Met game the other day, and I know I posted it on our website. in Citi Field, if you're not sitting on the field level, the 100, and you go up to the promenade and Pepsi Porch and even the BJ's Club sale tickets, there's many blind spots in the stadium. And finally, last year, the Mets came out about it, about the seats, and there was already less number of seats than Shea, and now the whole left field promenade section is empty. So that's a matter of 300 seats that they're not selling.
Well, I really feel like that has nothing to do with the blind spots of the stadium and more of the fact that the Mets aren't an attraction this year to most fans who know, be like, it's a nice day, let's go watch the Mets.
Well,
instead of, you really only have the fans who are like, I don't care if they're winning or losing, I want to see them play. And the people who do show up in those seats, yeah, they're only $2 to $5, but those are the people who don't care as much about the team and wouldn't take the time out of their day to sit in the upper deck and watch a team that they're not attracted to.
Also, but when I was at the game, it was a very good game, the Mets and the Dodgers, and there was tons of fans sitting in section 500 all around the stadium from right field to about left before it got into the left outfield. They were sitting in foul territory. But once it got into the left outfield, you couldn't see. And since there was nobody there, I went to try it, and you really can't see. Like, there was a deep fly ball by Ike Davis, but I wasn't sure if it was a home run or not.
Well, I mean, really, I see what you're saying. I'm going to fight you on this a little bit. I mean, if you don't know it's a home run or not, you can really tell if the ball's a home run.
But what do you like to see the home run?
You like to see the home run, but I mean, that's the way things happen. And we have a caller, Jake.
We have a caller now. All right. Hello, Matthew.
Yes.
Hi, you're here on the Tuesday Morning Sports Show with Jake Lublin and Jesse Kaplan. How are you this morning?
I'm doing good, guys. How are you?
We're great. We're great. Thank you for calling in. We really appreciate it.
All right, and we're going to start off with Jesse. Jesse's going to talk a little about the front office right now.
Well, I have a little bit of a question for you, Matt. What's your take on the new front office? We got Sandy Alderson as the new GM. We got J.P. Riccardi as the assistant to him. And then you also got Paul Despota, the vice president of player development, all new guys in the Mets organization. What are your thoughts on them?
You mean as far as the job they're doing so far?
Yeah, and the hires. Do you think they hired the right guy and how they're doing so far now?
Well, I mean, it's difficult to judge what they're doing. When you look at what the goal was, which was to bring on, some new people to make new decisions to create a new, organization and try and, reshape the way things are going and where they're headed. You know, that's a long-term plan. That's something that doesn't happen overnight. It's going to take multiple seasons, let alone a month or two. And, I think to judge what they're doing and how they're doing it and what the results have been might be a little unfair, just because, I think ultimately it's going to take some time here to figure out, just how successful their plan is and how they executed it. But I think what they've shown is a good approach to making decisions. I think they're good in terms of, the type of research they do and basing their decisions on evidence and trying to, have a definitive plan on how they're going to put the team together, which, from what I understand, is going to be outfield defense, definitive power on the free agent market, probably developing young, hard-throwing pitchers and taking gambles and making some bets on, guys with good fly ball ratios like Chris Young, and things like that on the open market. Now, the problem with that is sometimes those bets don't pay off, as they're seeing with Chris Young now, and I think that's something Mets fans will have to get used to. But I think the cavalry will actually come from the farm system, and that's going to take time to play out.
Well, speaking of Chris Young was just put longer in the DL with anterior capsule tear in his right shoulder, and now is he's told to do the same surgery we all seen Johan Santana go through last year. And another bad news for the Mets, Enrique Mania is now to have Tommy John surgery. Do you think this is going to hurt the Mets? I thought that it might be not good for the Mets, but they brought up Pat Mish and O'Connor, two lefties, to give them some depth in their bullpen. What do you think about this situation?
I think it hurts them. I mean, any time you lose a starting pitcher, especially somebody you are counting on, it's going to have an impact. As far as the overall season goes, I think they prepared,
I should say, at least they knew this might happen, and so, you know, seeing Dillon G, seeing Pat Mish in the rotation shouldn't be too much of a shock to anybody following the team. You know, at the end of the day, that this starting rotation was going to need a pitcher like Mike Pelfrey, like John Neese, Ari Dickey, and those guys to either step up or continue what they've done in the past, and that hasn't been the case every start this season. So losing Young hurts, but I think having those other guys not be at the top of their game actually is what probably has contributed to the poor start for the overall team more than anything. I like Dillon G. I think he's got a lot of potential. I like the way he throws. I like his approach. I think he's a hustler out there, and I think he'll kind of get through start to start, and I think that's important in the back end of the rotation. So I actually like having him in there. I hate to have him slot in because Chris Young got hurt, but I do like G there. You know, let's not forget, too, there are a lot of good young pitchers in the minor leagues. I think some of them we may see come up towards the end of the season, and hopefully Johan Santana can come back from injury or come back from surgery after the All-Star break, and that obviously will make a great addition as well.
Well, speaking of young pitchers in the farm system, like you were saying, you know, Harvey's pitching, dominating the competition down in the minors, but it's unlikely we'll see him come up this year. Do you think that's the start of something new to come for the Mets?
I do. I mean, he really has no business being in the major leagues right now. I'd love to see him throw. He'll probably, and I would think soon, get promoted to Double-A, which is, you know, obviously where he should be. He's dominating Single-A. He's 23 years old. He's an experienced college pitcher, and the kid's throwing a lot of innings. You know, he should be in Double-A, and I'll let him work against some more advanced hitters. My guess is, I think there's an outside chance he could get promoted to the big leagues towards the end of this season, just to see what he's, you know, got and what he's about against those type of advanced hitters. But either way, I suspect he'll be in the mix next spring for the rotation, and he'll probably end up in AAA. He'll clearly be on the radar. And I think you're going to see the same with Yuri's Familia, who's another guy they have down there who's a pretty hard thrower and exciting as well.
Another topic with the Mets was this spring training was the second baseman position. And we started off seeing Brad Emus starting off playing. Now he's playing for the Blue Jays. And the Mets have recently solid their spot with Daniel Murphy. Do you think this was a good move, getting rid of Emus and now putting Murphy in a couple times? We'll see Turner in there. Do you think that was a good move?
I think it was the right way to play it. It was more of a it was a contractual transaction kind of loophole kind of thing that they had to deal with the way it went down. Long story short, it made more sense to keep Brad Emus on the roster and send their current bench guy, Justin Turner, to the minor leagues and let Daniel Murphy kind of fight his way through on the major league roster just to ride it out. It's April. Most teams don't finish the year with the exact team they break camp with. You know, you go through these different phases where you tinker with it and you piece together certain spots, and second base was one of those spots for the Mets. And I think they approached it right out of spring training. Emus looked over match at the plate. You know, he may go on to be a good player. I actually think he's got a really good approach to the plate, and I think he'll be fine. You know, but right now wasn't his time with the Mets, so they let him go. And they returned him back to the Blue Jays, and then they promoted Turner. Had they done it the other way around, they could have lost both of them very easily, and it would have, you know, wouldn't have been the best way to play it. So I think they approached it correctly. In fact, so far, the entire front office has done an amazing job with a lot of these transactions. They've faced a lot of these situations where, well, if we do this, that might happen, you know, and so on. And I think they've handled all of them correctly. The problem is they haven't all panned out in terms of talent. Which, you know, they have no control over. They can only take the players they think are best, and then eventually these guys have to perform, and a lot of them haven't.
You know, speaking of that, you know, saying the Mets have now brought Daniel Murphy as we can see, as young fans, as pretty much everyday second baseman for the Mets after the beginning of the season, uncertainty at the position. But, you know, the Mets tried really hard the past couple of years trying to get Murphy up in the big leagues and finding a position for him to play. And now it seems like he's settled down at second base, making good defensive plays. But do you think he was a little rushed into second base and forced into a position he wasn't really comfortable with just so they can bring him up into the big leagues for his bat?
Well, this season, I don't know about that. I mean, he adapts pretty well. I mean, I like Murph. He's obviously not – I mean, he's a hitter. first and foremost, obviously, and he's not, he's not going to win any, tap dancing contests. He's pretty blocky in terms of his fielding. I think he's got tremendous reactions. If you think about, if you're a Mets fan and you watch him play, and you think about what you see, when he's at first and third and the ball's hit sharply, he reacts well. It's when he has time to think about it that he starts to get happy feet and, kind of bobbles the play. And so those are my concerns with him at second base. But he's looked actually really good. I mean, he's got pretty decent range. Doesn't look that great on the double play, but, I mean, he's only played, so many games there, and he's learning. I think when you hear the way the front office talks about it, and they said this repeatedly during the spring, they see second base with the Mets as an offensive position, mostly because of the size of the ballpark, because of the type of pitching staff they have that gives up a lot of fly balls. Second base, if there's ever a team that can sacrifice a little bit of defense at second in favor of offense, it's the Mets. And so I think that's the approach they went. I don't think they had expectations that Daniel Murphy would win a Gold Glove, and I think ultimately they see him playing, like I've written on Mets blog a few times, playing a more utility player type role, getting 450 at bats, but playing third, playing second, playing first, maybe playing the corner outfield spots occasionally. But right now there's a need at second, and he can play it. He's a good platoon partner with Turner, and I think it's fine to kind of ride it out. I don't think, like I was saying, anybody expects him to win an MVP. I don't think they expect him to win a Gold Glove. I just think they expect him to hold it down there, and I think he's doing that.
All right, now we're going to move on to our probably next and final topic of the morning. The trade rumors have speculated about Jose Reyes and really picked up when the Mets were playing the Giants in their first series of the year with the Giants. Reyes was rumored to be going to the Giants that weekend, and obviously, as a Met fan, you'd hate to see Reyes go, one of the most exciting players in baseball, always pumping up the crowd. What do you think about this topic?
Well, there were no reports, or both teams were clear to say that there was never any deal close. There was nothing that ever indicated that Reyes was being traded that weekend. Where the rumor initiated was from a report out in California where the writer basically said the Giants were thinking about, inquiring Jose Reyes, which I'm sure you could say is the case for a lot of teams, including the Mets, for that matter, who probably would like to re-sign him this offseason. It's early. When those rumors were out, it was early May, and there's a lot of time between now and the trade deadline. So there's going to be tons of rumors. There's going to be a lot of teams and people that are talking about acquisitions, and obviously the Mets look like a team that, if they're struggling in the standings, will obviously have a lot of parts to trade off. So it's not going to be the first trade rumor that clubhouse has to deal with. I think it's going to be interesting to watch, and I'm excited and kind of eager and nervous about where the summer is going to go, because I think ultimately it's going to come down to whether or not the Mets think they can re-sign Reyes to, a deal they think is fair. He's going to have the Yankees, he's going to have the Red Sox, the Giants, maybe the Phillies, and a handful of other teams that are going to have interest in him. And if that's the case on the open market, his price could go up. And if the Mets aren't comfortable with what they think he's worth for a young guy who has a game built on his legs entering his prime, it could be tricky, and if they determine that they don't want to get into a bidding war and he's going to be overvalued, it may make most sense to trade him now. Now, if you're super familiar with the way baseball works, it's not as simple as should we trade him and what do we get for him? They could offer him arbitration at the end of the year, which you guys can explain to your listeners in more detail at another time, but if he were to leave and they did that, they can get draft picks back for him, and so whatever they get back in a trade needs to be better than that. And so it's going to be complicated. There's going to be a lot of moving parts. I don't think this is going to be, here's a Jose Reyes trade rumor and he's gone the next day. I think there's going to be weeks, months of a lot of chit-chat, a lot of conversation between him, his agent, and the team, with other teams. You're going to see a lot of rumors and a lot of reports before anything actually happens, if it happens at all. And if he doesn't get moved, I think it's a good indication that they want to try and re-sign him. And I think you'll see a lot of negotiating that last month before free agency, and it's going to be an interesting next couple of months. I suggest everybody bone up on their contract law and get familiar with how this is going to go, because I don't think it's going to be easy.
You brought up a really good point saying at the end of the year, the Yankees, the Phillies, the Red Sox, a lot of teams are going to be interested in Jose Reyes, and that they don't, the Mets can't afford and don't want to get in a bidding war with other teams. Do you think they'll take the approach of, like you said, negotiating now during the season and trying to sign him now if they can't work out a trade that interests them? Because I know I would like to see Jose Reyes in the Met uniform for a while, and I'm pretty sure the other fans in the front office would like to, because he's really that spark in the front of the lineup and on the field that they really need with this team.
Yeah, I think it's going to be one of these things where they're not going to negotiate a deal in season. I don't think you're going to wake up one morning in June and he's going to sign a new contract. But that, it doesn't make sense from his point of view. I mean, if you were him, you would want to get to the... If you think you're healthy and you're having this tremendous season, you're going to want to get to the open market and get all these other teams involved. You know, unless you are less confident and you're concerned about your health, in which case you might, you know, take that gamble. Sign a deal and just get it over with. But I don't see that happening. And so more than anything, I think it's going to be a back channel type of a situation where the team, very casually kind of talks with Reyes's agent, and they kind of get a sense of what he's really willing to settle for. I think from what I understood maybe a year or so ago, they were talking a four-year deal, $15 million a year with an option year for a fifth year. Reyes wants more than that. He saw Carl Crawford go and get significantly more, and I'm sure he thinks he can do the same. But if the Mets get a feel for what he'll accept to return to the Mets, and they're comfortable with that, then they can approach it that way. But I don't think, you know, there's going to be ink to paper done during the season, because it just doesn't make sense for Jose. I mean, he would benefit too much to have teams like the Yankees, who would gladly get in the race just to bid up the price on the Mets and the Phillies and the Giants and all these other teams. I mean, why wouldn't you do that if you were him? It's going to be tempting because, you know, he does have a history of injuries and you know, you don't want to leave, that opportunity. But my guess is he wants to go to free agency, but the Mets need to be comfortable with what he'll accept and then approach the trade deadline with that piece of information and hope for the best.
You know, that's a really good point. I see what you're saying. You know, we are running a little short on time now, so we're going to smush a few questions in together. Now, this includes the Reyes, K-Rod, Beltran. Just how do you think the team will wind up looking next year, really, with the trades, injuries, everything like that?
I think there's very little chance, if no chance, that Beltran is back. I could see him being traded this summer if the Mets were 10 games up in the wild card or 10 games back. He's a valuable piece, and they can't get any draft picks back for him in the offseason, so my guess is they might make that move either way. K-Rod, I think they would love to... K-Rod's interesting because I think they'd love to have his talent, but I don't think they want to pay $17 million a year for it. So I'm not sure how that will shake out. I think they'll make every effort they can to trade him or get rid of him, just because it would help free up some money, and I think they like to stay liquid. And Reyes, you know, I think they want him back. I really do. I go back and forth on this because they have such good poker faces, the front office, and they do an amazing job, with sort of sticking to their principles and their value system. So it's very difficult to tell what they're thinking. But I think they understand that people like me, like us Mets fans who really enjoy watching him, I think they value that more than people think. People look at these guys as being very calculated with on-base percentage and all that stuff, but I think they understand, you know, the value of entertainment, and they know what Jose Reyes brings. So I do think there's a distinct chance he's there. I think Beltran goes, and I think K-Rod, they'll make the effort and see what happens.
Later in the season, when K-Rod gets brought up more, we also know that he has to, if he finishes 55 games, the option is automatically picked up. Do you think the front office will have any say in telling Terry Collins to maybe play him if the game's blown out and they don't really need him?
You know, Terry has said all along that's not going to be an issue, but I mean, I'm with you. I mean, you got to figure if the team is way out of the race, they'll do that. But the other issue is that the players union, and there's going to be a lot of legal issues and people watching to make sure that the Mets don't do that, because technically that violates the terms of the deal. That's obstructing it, and they can't do that. The Mets will have issues if they're blatantly obvious that they're not using K-Rod in the role that he was signed for, just for the reasons you're saying. So it'd be kind of dicey. my guess is they'll do everything. If they're out of it, they'll do whatever they need to do financially and contractually to move him. Now, remember, he has a no-trade clause, but they could trade him to a team like the Yankees, for instance, where he could be a setup man and wouldn't get those finishes, in which case his option won't kick in. But he'd have to approve that deal, and he'd be leaving $17 million on the table. So maybe the Mets can pay him a little bit to get him to do it. He knows maybe he can go win a World Series. He can become a free agent again and sign a new contract next year. So there's reasons for him to accept.
You know, Matt, I really hate to interrupt you like this, but we do have class starting in about a minute.
Oh, no problem, guys. No problem.
Thank you for your time.
We would like to thank you very much for taking time out of your day. And we like to support and shout out for Mets blog, Matthew Cerrone. You don't have to go look it, but we suggest it's a very great website. And have a nice day.
You got it, guys. Good luck in school.
All right, thank you.
And that was Matthew Cerrone from Mets blog. And this is Jesse Caput and Jake Lublin signing off from the Mets Insider.com.
Thank you.